We're going to be in Psalm 107 this morning, Psalm 107. We're going to read verses 8 and 9, but we're going to be in the entirety of the psalm as we work through it this morning. If you're visiting with us, thank you for visiting. Thank you for being here this morning. Let me just make one announcement that you may need to know. If you need to use the restroom during the service, it would be best if you went out this door. If you go out these main doors, you're not going to be able to get back in because everything's locked up once we begin the service for our protection. So, thank you. Psalm 107, we'll look at verses 8 and 9. Read those and then we'll backtrack and look at the psalm in detail. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege and the opportunity and the ability that you have given us this morning to be in this place at this time with these people for the purpose of worshiping and glorifying you as our God. And what we do here today cannot be duplicated in any other place. To be able to be with the people of God and worship our God together is a joy that is unspeakable. So thank you for it. May our hearts be rejoiceful over it. And may you receive the glory from it. As we read your word and as we preach from it, God, I pray that you would inhabit the words that will go from this pulpit this morning. They would go forth with power and with purpose to do what you have decreed them to do. Would you make sure that everything that is said would be true? And that which would not be true, will you make sure that it goes unsaid? And God, would you open our hearts and ears and eyes to your truths? Give us understanding of them so that we may know you better. That we may rejoice in what we have in Christ to a greater degree. That we would praise you above and beyond all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9. The psalmist says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness." And that's God's word for us, his people, today. And all his people said, amen. What we are doing on Sunday mornings here the last few weeks is we're looking at some verses in the Bible that contain words that are used to describe a spiritual appetite for God. They are words that remind us of a physical desire, but they imply something spiritual. We looked at Psalm 34:8, where the psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." So that verse establishes the fact that the Lord is good. There's a personal invitation given that we are to taste and see for ourselves that the Lord is good, not just take someone's word for it, but experience the goodness of God ourselves. And the way that we taste God and the way that we conclude that He is good is by trusting Him for our salvation in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In salvation, it is in salvation that we see that Christ is good news for sinners who cannot save themselves but have Christ doing the work of salvation for them. For those who are saved by grace, we have tasted and we have seen that the Lord is good because we have trusted in Him. Then we looked at Psalm 42, where David is in exile because his son Absalom has sought to overthrow his father, the king, and take over the kingdom. So David has lost his son, he has lost his family, he has lost his kingdom, his power, and to a degree he has lost contact with his God. And it is this loss of opportunity that he has encountered and experienced to worship his God in the midst of God's people that he misses the most. He said it was his desire to appear before God in praise and worship of God's greatness. That is what David pants for, and that is what David thirsts for, to be with God's people, to praise and worship the greatness and the glory of God. And so he says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" So every true believer pants for God as their greatest desire. Every true believer longs for God above all other things. Every true believer thirsts to be in the worship of the living God. Today, I want us to look at Psalm 107. The psalmist says here that we should praise God for His goodness. And let me stop there, because he adds, "for his wonderful works to the children of men." When we talk about the goodness of God, we are speaking of an attribute of God. He is good. And we are speaking about a spiritual reality, not necessarily a physical reality. That which may be seen as physically bad could be spiritually good. So what God is interested in is your spiritual goodness. And so praise the Lord for His spiritual goodness. He has been good to us spiritually. He's been good to us physically. But He has been good to us spiritually. We sang that song this morning. The deacons spoke about it before the service as we prayed. Won't it be wonderful there? Say amen. Having no burdens to bear. That is a spiritual reality. Say amen. Because of a spiritual work of Christ. And this is what the psalmist says. Praise God for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, because He satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. What our soul hungers for, what our soul longs for, is filled with the goodness of God. So this side of salvation, where we are at today, being saved in the past by time frame, where we are today is a place where we can look back and see the times where we longed and hungered, and we can also see that although maybe we didn't necessarily know what we were longing, hungering for, it was God who satisfied and filled us with His goodness. So we're going to look at the Israelites, but their historical, physical experience is simply a picture of our spiritual experiences of the goodness of God in that He has satisfied our longings and He has filled our spiritual hungers. So there are four groups. Sunday night, you got 2 points. Is that right? 2 points? I'm giving you four to make up for that this morning. Amen? I'm one behind. So there are four groups in this psalm that the psalmist pictures for us. They're physical experiencing God's goodness to our spiritual experiencing God's goodness. So let me point them out to you. Verses 4 through 7. It is in this section that we discover that God gives focus to those who are wandering. God gives focus to those who are spiritually wandering. Verse 4. Look at it with me. It will be on your screen. But they wandered, the children of Israel. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. And they became what? Hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Let me remind you this morning that a life lived without Christ is a life of wandering around without purpose and without direction. It is a wandering of our lives. It is a wandering of our thoughts. It is a wandering of our bodies. It is a wandering of our hearts. We light on one thing and then we quickly flutter away to something else. There's no solidness. There's no solidity in our lives. No focus and no foundation and no purpose in our lives. So what the psalmist says here, there was a time when the children of Israel were wasting away in a great wasteland. The road that they were on was the wrong road. The direction they were heading was the wrong direction. And there were no get-off ramps. He says, they found no city to settle in, no place to dwell in. It was just a constant wandering, day after day, week after week. No peace, no rest, no joy, just aimless wandering. And you remember, they did that for how long? 40 years. Now let me ask you a question this morning. Can you not look back on your own life and remember when you were spiritually in that very place? That you were without God. And without God, you were without purpose. And you were without God and without direction. And without God, you were doing those things which seemed right in your own eyes. The psalmist says, in this wandering, there was a hunger and there was a thirst. And their souls fainted. But what did they do? In their wandering, in their hunger, in their thirst, in the midst of their lack of direction and lack of purpose, what did they do? They did what all of us must do. They cried out to the Lord. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and what did He do? He delivered them out of their distress. And He led them forth in the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. In their hopelessness, they cried out to God. And there was a day in my hopelessness, and if you're saved, there was a day in your hopelessness that you cried out to God. And He gave you faith, and you trusted and relied on Christ, and He delivered you out of this aimless life without direction, and He led you in the right way, and He brought you to a city where you found rest and found peace and you found joy in Christ. So in Christ we have this identity. In Christ we have this purpose. In Christ we have direction, and in Christ we have a further promise. It was God's goodness that did that for us, and we should praise Him because He satisfied our longings and He filled our hunger when we were spiritually wondering. Say amen. And I would say this, if you are spiritually wondering without direction and without purpose this morning, come to Christ. And I guarantee you, you will find satisfaction and feeling of your hunger that you cannot find anywhere else or with anything else. Number two. God gives focus to those who are spiritually wondering. He did that for all of us. Therefore, we should praise God for His goodness in that. Secondly, verses 10 through 16, we have God giving freedom to those who are imprisoned. God gives freedom to those who are spiritually imprisoned. Verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and He broke their bands in sunder. So here we have the psalmist speaking to us as a people who were bound and imprisoned. And spiritually speaking, we were bound and imprisoned in the darkness of our own sinfulness. The reason for our imprisonment is given in verse number 11. We rebelled against the words of God, and we condemn the counsel of the Most High. So our rebelliousness led us to a place where there was absolutely no one to help us. That's what the psalmist says. We were bound in the chains of sin, unable to escape, unable to loose the hold of sin that was upon us, not caring what God's word said, not caring what God's counsel might give, living our lives according to our own reasoning and living our lives for the glory of our own selves and for the glory of Satan. But while we could not help ourselves and while we could not find help here on earth, there is a God who cuts through the chains that bind us. There is a God who opens prison doors that hold us. There is a God who shines light into darkness. And there is a God that gives life to deadness. You see, hungering and thirsting for freedom, they cried unto the Lord in their time of trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and He breaks their bands in sunder. Don't you remember when you were in spiritual bondage? Don't you remember when you were in spiritual darkness? Don't you remember when you were spiritually dead? Don't you remember when you had no help and could find no help and had no hope? But one day you cried out to God, and He saved you. Say amen. What He did, He came and He shattered the darkness. He gave life to your deadness. He broke the chains that bound you in two. He freed you from the bondage of sin in the person and work of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would praise the goodness of God that has given us His goodness in freeing us who were spiritually imprisoned by sin. Say amen. Number three, we have here a group that God's goodness satisfies and fills their longing and hungering by giving them focus because they are spiritually wandering, and by giving them freedom because they are spiritually imprisoned. Thirdly, verses 17 through 22, God gives food for those who are spiritually starving. Verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So verses 17 and verse 18 paint a picture of those who are starving to death. They have no appetite for food. They hate all manner of meat. And because they have lost their appetite for those things that are nourishing, they are becoming weaker and weaker and weaker, and at the point of death. And the picture here is of people who have rejected the Word of God. They rejected that which truly nourishes the soul. They have rejected the food of God. They have ignored the God who made them. They have ignored the counsel of His will. They have ignored the friendship and the fellowship that is available with God through Christ. And the very thing that would nourish them, the very thing that would satisfy their souls, the very thing that would fill their hunger, they have rejected, they have hated it, and they have no appetite for it. And the psalmist says, they're fools. Say amen. People that have no appetite for the Word of God, who do not feast on the Word of God, are fools. They are foolish because of their sins. It is because of their iniquities they are afflicted. They are alienated from God. They are separated from God. They are distanced from God. They eat in the slop of this world. And the more they eat of the junk food of this world, the worse they become. The more they indulge in what the world promises, the closer to death they become. Let me just say this. You cannot historically point to a kingdom or a nation or a government or a church or a family or an individual who has done anything other than starve to death and die when they reject God. To live without God is to starve spiritually. To reject God is to be a fool. So this group, starving to death, spiritually starving to death, they cry out to the Lord as they hunger and they thirst. And what does God do? He saves them out of their distress. Notice what the cure is in verse number 20. How does God save them? How does God deliver them out of their distresses? He sent what? The Word. And the Word did what? It healed them. And the Word delivered them from their destruction. Say amen. What satisfies the longings and what fills the hunger of God's people is His Word. It is the revelation of Himself. It is why I should not have to come up with some fancy introduction to grab your attention as the people of God when I begin to preach. I should say Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9, and you should say, "All right, let's eat." It is the Word of God that heals our spiritually starvation. It is the Word of God that heals us and delivers us from destruction. And the more we eat of His Word, the less foolish we are. And the more we eat of His Word, the livelier we are. And the more we eat of His Word, the stronger spiritually we become. It is the Word of God that saves those who are spiritually starving to death. Oh, that we would praise the Lord for His goodness. For He has satisfied our longings, and He has filled the hunger of our starving souls with the goodness of His Word. Say amen. You got a church preaching the Word of God, you ought to thank God. There's a bunch of them that ain't. Number four. God gives favor to those who are overwhelmed. Verse 23 through 32. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them into their desired haven. So here you have a group of sailors. These are those who made their business on the sea. They are merchants, sea merchants. So this is not a description of a cruise ship. Say amen. This is not sailing for pleasure. This was no fun. This was a difficult and a dangerous way to make a living. And the psalmist says that these sailors see the works of the Lord in the deep. How do they see the Lord's works in the deep? Because they often experience storms. They experience winds and waves that toss them to and fro. They're lifted up to the heavens and then they're cast back down. And he says, in these storms, no matter how many they have experienced, they lose their courage and they lose, or they become in despair. Now, brothers, it's one thing for me to stand on the solid ground and tell you what you ought to do in a storm. It's a different thing for me to be in the storm. Somebody help me and say amen. Because in the storm, we often lose courage and we often become despaired. They reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man. And it says here, they come to their wits' end. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to turn. They don't know whom to talk to. And they don't think they can take any more. The trouble is too great. The news is too bad. They simply don't think they can go on or that they can take any more. So what do? They cry out to the Lord. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble. And He what? He hears them. No matter how loud the storm is, no matter how much noise the wind and the waves are making, if we cry out to God, He hears us. The storms don't drown out our cries for Him. It is not the strength of our cries. It is the ear of the Lord that hears. And what does God do? He brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm calm. He makes the waves still. then they are glad because the storm is quiet and he brings them into their desired haven. Can I bring your attention to verse 25 for just a second? Look at verse 25. And you tell me, who commanded the storm to come about? Who was it? It was God. God commanded the storm to be. He is the one that stirred up this storm. God spoke and this storm came to be. It was God who determined how fast the winds would blow and how high the waves would be. Can I ask you a question? Can you look back on your life? And would you confess with me this morning that there are times when God ordained storms in my life and in your life because it was the only thing that would bring us to depend on Him? It was the only thing that would bring us back to a place of dependence and submission to Him. But in every storm, in every trouble, God has been in the midst of it. Every trouble that I have encountered, every storm that I have experienced, God has been in the midst of it. And the storms have caused us to give up. That's what they're designed to. Storms are designed to cause us to give up. Not to row faster, not to find some strategic way to get through the storm. Storms are designed to get you to give up. To surrender. To stop trying. And simply cry out to God. And He hears us. And He helps us. And He always brings us to a desired destination. He either advances us in this life, He either helps us in this life, He either takes away the storms in this life, or He takes us out of the storm to be with Him. Either way, He brings His people home. Say amen. Oh, that we would praise the Lord for His goodness, because He has satisfied our longings and He has filled our hunger with His goodness. Every time we have cried out in hunger and every time we have longed for Him, He has been there. And He has, in whatever He has done, He has been satisfying and filling to us spiritually. Should we not praise Him? We shouldn't be talking about weather. I'm tired of hearing about Dorian. We should be talking about the one who controls the weather. Say amen. It is our experience as believers, right? It is our experience as believers as we sit here today that God has satisfied our longings and God has filled our hunger. He has given us focus when we were wandering. When we were without purpose and without direction, He has given us focus. He has given us freedom when we are in prison in the darkness and the deadness of our sins. He has given us food when we were starving to death and only getting weaker and weaker on the diet of worldly things. And He has given us favor when we have had enough of the winds and had enough of the waves and the trouble of our life. He has led us, He has forgiven us, He has freed us, and He feeds us, and He favors us. Hallelujah! All that men would praise the goodness of God. He has satisfied our longings and He has filled our hunger with goodness. That's my experience. Say amen. Is that your experience? May we praise Him. And let me say this morning, if you're here wandering, imprisoned, starving, overwhelmed, The world doesn't have the answers. Christ is the answer. That longing in your soul, that hunger in your soul that cannot be filled with anything else, that must be filled with Christ, come to Him. He will satisfy your longing. He will fill your hunger. Say amen. Ask every other believer here, and they will say the same thing. Oh, that we would praise Him. For His goodness has satisfied, and His goodness has filled the longing of my soul. Amen. Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, may You take Your word, make it go forth with power. There is no power in men. Power is in the Spirit of God. So may the word go forth with power today, saying what You would have it to say to the hearts of those that are here. And God, may we leave this place in our hearts saying, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for He has satisfied our soul. He has filled the longings of our soul. He has spiritually given us everything that we lack and everything that we desire. It all is met in Christ. May that be true of every single believer here. And for those that aren't believers, may they come and trust Christ. That their wandering may be over. That their freedom may be true in Christ. That their starvation would be over by His word, and that they would be favored over the obstacles that face them. God, may they come to Christ. And in Christ may they be filled. And in Christ may they be satisfied. God, forgive us where we fill up on the junk of this world that cannot fill and cannot satisfy. May we praise You. And that praise of You, may it be an indication that our souls are satisfied in Christ. And that our hunger, our longing is filled. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen.